Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Well, good morning. It is great to have you here, and thank you so much for worshiping with us today. All together, we are worshiping Him and lifting up His name for the cross that has given us a brand new life. Amen. And that's where we're going today. And the series that I've entitled The Miracles of the Cross, it's a series that I started last week, and we're continuing to talk about it. And, you know, I want to give you a little bit of just a heads up and stuff. It wasn't until Sunday school that I realized that I didn't take my medicine. The medicine that keeps you standing up. The kind of medicine that keeps you from passing out. The kind of medicine that keeps your words going. So if I begin to pass out or start speaking in Baptist tongues or whatever, just go along with it. I am glad to have you here, and we'll get through this. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for each of us to be here today and to just to come and to worship you. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you so much for the cross and what it represents and the power behind it. And today, Lord, I pray that we would open up our hearts. As we open up your word, may you speak to each one of us today. We thank you so much for each of our guests that's here that could have chosen any place to worship today. We thank you that, God, they chose Living Hope. And we thank you so much, Lord, for being our living hope each and every day of our life. We pray that, Father, today would be a day that we don't just receive something, but, Lord, that we actually give something to you. And in all areas of this service, may it be honorable to you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians in chapter 1, it's in the New Testament. It's right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you'll find Colossians. An amazing book written by the Apostle Paul. And what I love about this particular book is to see the thankfulness, to see the gratitude of this man's heart. And how often he actually gives thanks to God for the relationship that he has in Jesus Christ. Do you ever just stop in your day and just say, thank you, Lord? Maybe there's times when you're traveling down the road or something has happened in your job situation, or you wake up and you look beside and you see your husband or your wife or you see your kids and people are healthy. Maybe something good happens to you, and even things that we think is sometimes even difficult, and we realize that God is still with us. Do you ever just stop and just say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life? You don't have to turn there, but a couple chapters over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, I believe is a perfect way to start off a sermon. Matter of fact, I think it's the perfect way to how to start off a day. Every morning, as I shared with you before, new mercies that I see. And this is another new mercy that I see in Colossians 3, 15 through 17. As we look at the Apostle Paul sharing his gratitude, sharing his thankfulness for the Lord. And it reads this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And you stop right there, and I could give a sermon on that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I love the fact that he starts off with that, because you know what? You got to start. Is he even ruling in your heart? Does he have dominion over your heart? Because if he doesn't, then it's hard to find peace in a world that's like ours. Because in this world, we know that we will have trouble, Jesus says. So we got to look at it and first start off to say, is the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body? And here we go. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching you and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns. You don't really know this because he didn't put the attention on himself, but it was actually Saul that wrote one of those songs that we sang already. He is already allowing the hymns and the music and the words of Christ dwell in him, and then he's overflowing and sharing those songs with you and with me, not even knowing that. And that's part of his testimony as our musician, as our worship pastor. And we thank you for that, Sal. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Do you know the rest of it? Was blind, but now I what? See. We should be singing with amazing grace in our hearts with gratitude. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all. Do everything. Everything that you say, everything that you, every place that you go, you should be doing these things. Do all of this. Every day that you live, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's never going to be about us. It's all for God. It's all for His glory. The whole design, the whole reason why we were born is to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and extend that for all of eternity. That was a whole purpose for Him to come. This is what the cross is all about. It's okay that you don't even look at me when I'm preaching. It's okay for you to stare at this for the remainder of the time because it's all about this man that came and died for you on the cross. It's the miracle, it's the power behind the cross that gave us life. Let's give thanks to him. And so this morning, the miracles of the cross, the power of the cross, 28 times you will find the cross mentioned in the New Testament. 28 times, a method of torture, a method of punishment for the guilty, the ones that did wrong in the eyes of the land and for the eyes of the laws, that did something they shouldn't have done. But Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong. He lived a sinless life. He was perfect. All he wanted to do was give the great news that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus, that you can have a personal relationship with God for all of eternity. And that he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man may come to the Father except through me. That's what put him on the cross. It's what separates Christianity from every other religion. Has any other God ever died for you? But God Almighty put himself on the cross so that we could live. 28 times you will find the cross mentioned. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, "For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, to be guilty for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." This morning, I want to share a message, an encouraging message from the words of Apostle Paul and why we should be thankful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 started off already saying, "Give thanks to God." This was a man that rebelled against Jesus Christ. This was a man that persecuted Christians. This was the man that helped kill Stephen, the first martyr for Jesus. This was a man that tried to ruin the ministry of Christ before it ever got started. But see, God always has a different plan, a plan that sometimes we don't even see. And even the Apostle Paul, that was actually Saul, that was persecuting Christians, finds himself going down a road that most actually traveled by. That most actually traveled. And there in his own way, in his own life, in his own sin, and in his own experiences, he met God. He met God. And God had something to say to Saul. And God had something to do to Saul. "You've persecuted my son. You've persecuted me," Jesus says. Now it's time for something radical. I'm now going to use you to bring light to the world. I am going to allow you to shed your light. Think about it. Think about a person that persecuted, that went against something so much, and now is going to be for something more than probably any other believer has come to know. I mean, this guy has written more of the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul, and he shares these words. See, sometimes you got to know a little bit of the background to really appreciate why Apostle Paul is so thankful right now. This is a two-part message that I'm going to share today and next week. Five things that we should be thankful for the cross. Colossians 1, 9 through 14, if you'll read with me in the Word of God. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with his knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, be fruitful in every good work and in increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. And here we go. This is the part that I want you to hold on to. Verse 12. And giving thanks, here he goes again, to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers for the inheritance of the saints in the light, and he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The first thing that I want to see for us this morning is that we should be thankful for the cross, because through it, verse 12 says, he has qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance. It is the Heavenly Father, through only Jesus Christ, that qualifies us for an inheritance like nothing we ever could imagine. You ever just think about what heaven could be like? We get just a glimpse. And maybe you're at a funeral and you see that glimpse when a pastor is sharing something about where this person is going and living forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. We only get that glimpse, though. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind could even conceive what God has in store for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can't fathom it. It's too far out there. It's beyond our knowledge of knowing what's waiting for us, that God is preparing a place for each and every single one of you. Yes, for each and every single one of you, he is planning right now your inheritance like you have never seen before. It's waiting for you. It's being built as we go right now. As you sit here, as you go out to the community, as you go and be a light in your family and your workplace and all the things that you are doing, he is building together, and he is a great carpenter. He is building your inheritance for something that you can't even imagine. So not only are you living an abundant life right now, you are living for the eternal life that's waiting for you, something that you can't imagine. It's going to be awesome. Can you see why the Apostle Paul is thankful and grateful about what's going on right now? And he qualifies us to be partakers of this inheritance. See, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't work for it. We don't buy it. We don't do enough good things to receive it. I can't be his favorite. I'm not good enough to come close to putting my hand on it. My name is not worthy enough. And my heart is not even pure enough to receive what is waiting for me. How do I get this inheritance? What qualifies me? What qualifies you to receive this inheritance? Church family, it's about our position. It's about our position. Dad, I'm sorry about this. If my father passes away in 150 years from now, and leaves me a gazillion dollars, which is a lot of money, I believe. I don't even know how much that is, really. I guarantee you my dad's going to sit here and tell me at the service how many zeros that is. I'll bet you a gazillion dollars. But I'm pretty sure that I can buy me a 10-cent Coke machine to put in my office, because you guys know that I love Coke, because Jen says there's an inheritance because she has two of them, but I have not seen that. I have not seen no contract either. I bet I will never meet the beneficiary. But some of you guys are going to be happy for me that I received this gazillion dollars from my dad. But some of you guys may be upset. Some of you guys are going to look at me and say, you don't deserve that money, Troy. You work 2 hours a week on Sunday and that's it. That's all you do. You don't deserve it. You don't have the bills that I got. You don't. All you want to do is buy a Coke machine. I got big plans. I could change the world with a gazillion dollars. The only problem is that you're not in the same position that I am in. See, I'm in the position to receive the inheritance because I'm in the correct line with my father. I'm in the family. See, when you accept and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you understand the debt that he paid for you and for me on the cross, when you put your trust in him, he qualifies you. He qualifies you. He qualifies me. He qualifies even the ones that you think is the most wretched, wrecked up, sinful, messed up, hurtful person to read something so special right now for all of eternity. See, Jesus doesn't just promise this John 10:10 abundant life. He promises John 3:16 eternal life for anyone who puts their trust in him and believes in him. This is why Paul was so thankful. He was so excited. See, he couldn't stop thinking about it. He couldn't stop praying about it. He couldn't stop writing about it. He couldn't stop sharing about it. It was everything to him. Is it everything to us? Is it making that big of an impact? Do we really truly understand what the cross has done? It has qualified us to receive a life like no other. But we have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded of what he has done for us. This is why this road onto Damascus, this is why it was so important. Have you had your road? Have you had your life radically changed from Saul to Paul? Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions, our sins, under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive, may have tasted the promise of eternal inheritance. See, Paul is saying that this inheritance is amazing. Being a part of the family of God forever and ever, there's nothing like it. I could keep singing about it all day long. Matter of fact, a great hymn. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I have been washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we traveled this sod, for I'm a part of the family, what? The family of God. That should be our sing. That's our anthem that we should be singing. That Jesus Christ that paid the debt that we could not pay has allowed each one of us, has qualified every single one of us to be a part of the family of God. And you are in right line, the same line that I chose in 1989. And maybe whatever day you chose to receive Christ, you are in line to receive the greatest inheritance that you could ever imagine. The second thing that Paul points out, why we should be thankful for the cross. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. See, it's funny. Many of us don't even know that we were in darkness. See, when I was a junior in high school, I had no idea that I was living in darkness. For a guy that really actually had everything growing up, everything that my parents could have offered me. But I had no idea that I was still living in darkness. And most of the world is clueless today. Can I say that again? Because it's probably not too hard to fathom this. Most of the world is clueless today, just like I was before 1989. It's clueless that they are in spiritual darkness. Why? Because Colossians 3:15 says the peace of God does not rule in their hearts. It's easy to see if God is ruling in your hearts by your actions, the things that you say, by the things that you do, by the things that you post and the way that you live your life, how we do what we do. Is God ruling in our hearts about spiritual darkness? He said he has delivered us from the power of darkness. You know that this is the same phrase that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane. As Judas betrays Jesus Christ, as Jesus is waiting, it's not like he doesn't know what's going to happen. As Jesus is waiting for the soldiers to show up, the high priest to bring about complete darkness, it is Jesus Christ that says these words. When I was with you daily in the temple, when I was walking among you in the cities, when I was performing the miracles, when I was healing you and healing you and helping those areas, when I was doing all these things, as I was meeting with the woman at the well because no one else would even go near her, as I was freeing up the poor lady that was caught in adultery and everybody was ready to stone her, you had all this opportunity to seize me. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not seize me. But this is the hour and the power of darkness. The Apostle Paul uses that exact same phrase to tell us he has delivered us from that darkness. That he has delivered us from that darkness. Isn't that awesome? See, the chief priests thought he could keep Jesus dead. And the devil thought he could destroy the world through his darkness. But see, the miracle of the cross and the power behind the cross, Jesus overcame both, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It won't prevail. I want you to do me a quick favor. If you have your Bibles, I want you to underline or circle that word darkness. I'm pretty good at the Greek, and I want you to understand what this means. It means complete darkness. This is what you're paying for. It's not just darkness. It's complete darkness. It's total. It's absolute. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there or not. There's a huge cave. It's the largest underground lake in the United States. It's called the Lost Sea in the Sweetwater, Tennessee. I don't know if anyone's ever been there or not. As you go through the cavern, your guide will take you on this great adventure. And you'll walk and you'll ride a boat and you'll look at this sea of glass. I mean, it's an amazing, you can tell from the pictures, it's a beautiful place. But there's a time during the tour when all of a sudden he will do something or she will do something, your guide. And that is to turn off the lights. You won't even be able to see your hand in front of your face. This is the kind of darkness that Jesus is talking about. The same type of darkness, because we know that God punished Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 23. He says, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which even may be felt. There was thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise, meaning did anyone move. Their place for 3 days. Church family, that's dark. Church family, God delivered us from that kind of darkness. He delivered us from that kind of separation from the Lord for all of eternity when you put your trust in Him. See, the Lord Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. Isn't that awesome? It's See, this is what Paul was so thankful about. He went from darkness on that road to now experiencing the most unbelievable light and said, now you're going to be the light. I'm going to radically change your life. Your life will never be the same, Paul. Your life will never be the same, Curtis, Carrie, David. Your life will never be the same. Light always conquers darkness. This is why in biblical days it's referenced as much as any other word. Just in the Gospels of John alone, the word light is mentioned 30 plus times, and throughout the Bible over 200 times. I'm grateful that Jesus is the light of the world, but I'm also glad that he tells us to be the light as well. This morning, my mom, she might have seen it last night, but this morning I saw a video. I hope it's okay to brag. I'm not going to brag about me, but I'm going to brag about my sister. Because my sister, I just saw, won the 2017 Garrison Award for the city of Wiley. Yeah, it's amazing. As a police officer, as a servant for the community, she helps also serve as a security at her church. But to receive such an honor and a reward, but what's more amazing is the testimony, what was said about her, was quite astonishing. See, there wasn't any words from her. It was just a testimony from other people. But my sister has been a light in that community. You are a light in your community. And whether you receive ever an award in your community, you are receiving the greatest award that's waiting for you to come. It's going to be awesome. Matthew 5:14-16. I'm coming to an end. You are the light of the world, Jesus says, while speaking to a crowd. I talked about it. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And now he's coming in and saying, now you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, this city on the hill called the Safad or the Safat was 2,650 feet above the sea in Palestine. It's one of four holy cities of the Jews, existed as one of the fortresses. And I can only imagine as Jesus is speaking to this crowd and over their horizon, he's looking at this city. It's a shot. It's a photo that I hope that you'll keep in your mind. The hill Jesus referring to, the Safad or the Safat, as a town among the hill where people on the boats traveling can see flickering lights at night in the darkness. Realizing that there's life that's going on. Realizing that that's a place of peace. Realizing that there's families going on. There's community taking place. Allow people to feel, even no matter where they are on the sea or where they are on the land, that that's a place of safety. It's a beacon of hope. It's a beacon of hope. And Jesus says, this is a city that was not hidden. There's no mistaking where this city is. People can see the light. The city was not hidden. The city was not hidden. The city was not hidden. And neither should we. Amen. Don't hide under the bowl. Set yourself up on the lampstand, and your family, and your community, and your church, everywhere you go. Let us be the light that illuminates every aspect of our whole entire life. So that we can represent the Lord as the light of the world. See, this city was not only a refuge for the weary, it was a beacon of light also for the enemy's attacks. So just like it gave hope for all those people that were hurting or were lost in the darkness, the rest of the enemies in the world could also see the light just as well. And as you go out in your communities and as you are in your families and you are in your workplace, I want you to understand, yes, you will be the light of the world, but I want you to also know that your enemies will see you like a beacon like no other. Why? Because you are light in a dark world. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the city on the hill. You are the one that's going to bring refuge. You are the one that's going to point people to the cross. Are you that person? Are you the city on the hill? Has your life been transformed and changed like the Apostle Paul? Do you feel grateful for your life? Has it been radically changed? Has your name changed? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16 says, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be qualified for eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from total darkness. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle of the cross. Thank you, Lord, for anyone here today that may have not put their trust in Christ to be a part of the family of God for all of eternity. I hope that you'll do that today if you haven't. And if you already have, keep being that beacon. Keep being that city on the hill. Keep being that light in this dark world. You're not alone. You're not alone. You got other believers, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in you. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before you and we thank you that God, that you have called us to be the city on the hill. Lord, it is our hope that you will radically change our lives. There may be some here today that may have not felt like their life is shining too bright. I know that so often in my life, sometimes I wonder if my light is even on. But I pray that, God, that you will give each person hope and realize that, God, that you have taken them and delivered them from that darkness. And you have said that they are the light of the world. I pray that, God, that each person here today would find you as that answer, would find you as that hope, to put their trust in you. Oh Lord, I thank you for your words. I pray that they're not my words. I pray that they were your words to speak to each one of us. And Lord, during this time of invitation, I pray that, God, that we can come before you, receive you, acknowledge you, and most of all, thank you for the cross. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Mm-hmm.